going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
It's time for overrated, underrated, or probably
come on, America, let's go.
With the Chad Hoppin Show,
live here on CCO. Call or text 651-461-9226. Come on, join the fun.
First of all, afternoon, everybody. When the weather gets nasty, we'll keep you up to date.
100%.
We will keep you up to date. Schaefer's going to join us at 1:35 because right now it's fine. It's fine. You know, it was raining plenty, but the concern is later in the day, so we will legitimately cover this. At times, we'll joke because, you know, your rain totals. But today, we might include you in the mix if things get ugly with us, more likely later in the day with Jason. But look who's back, Dave.
Susan K.
It's the show is just better when you're here.
Thank you.
Yes.
I love it.
I mean that 100%.
I love you.
Yeah.
There we go.
Belize.
Belize. San Pedro Island.
Oh.
So here's what we did. We took this little tiny plane from Belize City to San Pedro Island.
Nice.
Tropic Air.
Tropic Air.
About 8 of us.
Love it. Big fan of Tropic
Air. 8 of us. Well, 2 days prior to us going, someone hijacked a Tropic Air.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
Swear to God.
Not good. So, don't love Tropic Air as much as I thought I did.
But Josie and I were like, you know, it's even better now because they're going to have all these guys making sure.
Okay, let's stop. 651-461-9226. If a few days before the airlines you're taking had a hijacking, would you feel better where Susie's feeling better, Dave? Feeling more confident.
So much extra.
There's more security. I'm feeling worse.
Are you?
Dave?
Okay.
How are you feeling?
I'm feeling a little worse, but I do hear.
You're not fazed by hijacking.
I do hear her point that if there is a huge problem like a hijacking a couple days in advance, everyone will be on high alert.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's good.
Very, careful.
Yeah,
I was more afraid I was going to crash in that plane because it's an old hunk of dunker and it's windy. And I'm like, oh god.
See,
I'll show you pictures.
What was that noise again? Has not turned out to be a good advertisement here for Tropic Air. Hijacking
Susie Jones here for
it was very loud. But it was a great trip.
Yeah.
And I have properly rated. Had a really good time. It was windy. That was interesting. And I have another thing to tell you about travel.
Mm.
Because only you
will
get a kick out of
it. All right, I'm ready.
Maybe Dave. Dave, you might get a kick. So you know you make
seems like Dave needs to go in the corner.
Okay,
I guess
so
I don't get kicks.
You get to chat. Listen. So I'm on vacation.
Really?
Right? Oh, interesting. That never happens.
And my good friend from Duluth texts me.
Who's that?
Nancy Cashman.
Nancy Cashman, sure.
She says.
We love Nancy.
Big news, she says. I got to tell you something.
She's pregnant.
No. God, she's 60, like my age. Point is, I'm like, what's up? I call her, right?
Yeah, right
she
away.
Said, guess what? I said, what? She said, 5 years ago, her daughters bought her a trip to Ireland. but then it got canceled for COVID, and now her kids have kids, and she can't do it. And I think she said she lost the voucher, so she calls the voucher place.
Wait, she can't go because she has to help take care of the kids?
Her own daughters, who she's going to go with, now have children, so it's not the same as it was five years ago.
Got it.
So she says, I have a voucher to go to Dublin, Ireland.
Are you? Is this leading to another vacation you're taking? Honestly, is that next week?
I couldn't wait to tell you that.
Oh, my God.
Not only that, it's free. It's a free airline
ticket.
What's
all your trips are?
You leave Wednesday? Thursday?
How soon are you leaving?
No, I said I would maybe September, at the end of summer. Because I have Park Rapids in July. That's my...
Oh, that's a big one.
Woo, woo.
I'm a big Park Rapids person.
I love Park Rapids. And then after...
Nevis, right there.
Nevis. Yeah. I think that's where our new resort is. But anyway, the point is, I couldn't wait to tell you that I had another...
Of course.
That I planned another vacation.
Is Lindsay Peterson hearing this right now?
No, he's out of town. He's in Florida.
Yeah. Lindsay Peterson, by the way, underrated vacation taker here at WCC Radio.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, when you're the vacationologist... then you don't have to worry about as much yourself.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm. I want to add one thing about the storms, and then you guys can take over. We have
tip
got
over
tip over.
We tip over, yeah.
We have gotten a number of warnings, like Minneapolis is out. St. Louis Park pushed out a text. Edina pushed out a text. Like, everyone is like, this is serious.
It's really weird.
It's weird to me.
It seemed that... this even started Saturday.
Yes.
Saturday. More than almost any storm I can remember.
Right.
Warning. That's going to be my first question to Schaefer. At 1:35.
Is this peculiar?
Is this just this concerning about this storm, or is there coordination of more communication this year?
That's a great question, because to me, it feels like they know something we don't, and maybe we should all just
They're stealing our bit. We're kind of the weather station here, so they're seeing our popularity with the weather bit, and they're going after our vibe.
I don't know, man, but, you know, we got to take it seriously, because tornadoes are real and
absolutely
deadly. You know, I think about the one in North Minneapolis how many years ago. And,
oh, my gosh.
You know, trees fallen, people died that storm. So
how about the St. Peter one?
Oh, my gosh.
Right, we can think of a bunch.
March, spring storms.
Yep.
Yeah. So just to reiterate, as you said, we will be on it if anything 100%. Happens. So, but I had a great trip. Happy
Fabulous.
To be back and planning the next one.
Of course you are. 651 461-9226. What would you like to add to overrated, underrated, properly rated? This is your time to chime in right now.
Fun.
Normally it's later. We mixed it up.
Creative development.
That's what we did. I want to tell about a little bit of my creative development when I head to Stretch Lab. I go to Stretch Lab multiple times a month, sometimes solo. More often than not, I bring Quentin. What is Stretch Lab? It's a place where you're going to get mobility, you're going to get range, you're going to get flexibility, and you are going to feel better after you work with the trained specialist. It might be a 25-minute session. It might be a 50-minute session. They don't just walk in and see, like, my guy Zach, who runs the Plymouth store, and say, hey, I'm going to start, and then he goes, just go ahead. No. Weeks and weeks of training, and I've never had a single person where I thought, wow, what's going on? Do I have favorites? Of course I do. But they're all skilled. Susie, 11 locations.
11 locations. And remember, when you go there, they work with you. You're not just laying on a table. They take a deep breath.
Yeah.
And they'll lean into a stretch. You're not just sitting there.
Absolutely. A lot of times, let's say you're in your hamstrings, and they'll have you push down a little bit. They'll move you in different positions. They might have four or five different stretches if you have a tight hamstring, because my hamstrings are garbage. Really, really tight.
And it feels so good when you're done.
Half off your first visit. 11 locations. I've been going for 6 years. Trust me on this one. StretchLab.com.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning. because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
A bop leap in time.
No kidding.
How is it possible that Joe Cocker is just getting into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Seems like this should have happened like 30 years ago.
Minimum.
I'm not exaggerating, but bravo, Joe Cocker.
Nice.
We're going to talk homeschooling, the rise in homeschooling, bottom of the hour. Susie's back with us. We're mixing it up, overrated, right at the start, among the texts. Overrated, umbrellas in the rain. Get out of here. Properly rated. Los Angeles Lakers, overrated. Well,
right on.
To the
LeBron
masses,
James.
Yes. Yeah. Actually, he's been brilliant.
He's a jerk.
He's been brilliant.
He knocked Rudy Gobert over at the free throw line.
No, that was a complete cheap shot by Rudy on that one.
I disagree. Flagrant,
we didn't see it that way.
Flagrant foul.
Agree to disagree.
Yeah. San Pedro, Belize, underrated. May have been the best vacation ever. Tropic Air, sketchy. My daughter was in a co-pilot seat in the Paul Jumper flight from Belize to San Pedro. I don't think Tropic Air is getting ready to advertise on this particular show. I say, get the hijack out of the way and up we go. No. Like, I'm not thinking the next flight I have. Hey, I'm really hoping they get that hijacking going.
How about a special 50% off?
Yeah. Texter, Prince, overrated. Get out of here. Get out of here. Send more text, 651-461-9226. Dave Harrigan, what do you have?
Well, I saw a clip of Mel Kiper over the weekend complaining about Shedeur Sanders still falling in the draft, still falling. It was like round four at the time.
I didn't watch a lot. I stumbled into that. It was also awkward.
Him using a word, I can't remember the exact word, but something like, it's disgusting to see this happening. He's the fifth best player on my big board. The hubris of, as Matthew Collar calls it, the mock draft community.
Yes.
Like, you know better, Mel, than the entire NFL. Calm down. You're not that important. Overrated.
Yeah. Oh, he was condescending as you know what.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, NFL doesn't get it. I get it. And they were just trying to calm him down.
Yeah.
Reese Davis was excellent in that exchange.
Last week, as Mark Fry was here, when Susie was on vacation, Susie takes vacations, he complained about seeing a lot of paper towels that men in the restroom will throw into the urinal.
Yeah.
Gross. Oh!
Disgusting.
Just absolutely gross.
On that same note, I saw it over the weekend as I used a public restroom.
Yeah.
Spitting gum in the urinal.
Yeah. No.
I mean, for goodness sake. Men are horrible. Men are disgusting.
Yeah. You don't have to tell me that twice.
I can't top what Susie said there, so yeah. I'm just going to leave it.
There is no excuse.
Men,
I'm just sitting here, taking care of business.
Yeah. Men's behavior in public bathrooms, they think any sort of decency or protocol or customs or normalcy. Out the door.
Out the door.
It's freedom here. Yeah,
we can just all be pigs. Last, I'll get out of your way quickly. My oldest had her first communion yesterday at the old church.
Here we go.
Dressed as a princess, all in white, veil, the gloves, got her necklace,
Marrying God.
Oh, my goodness. It was.
It's a big moment.
It was a big moment. It was a lot of fun. You could just see her feeling, wearing all this cool stuff, and the day's all about her. Her just feeling incredibly special. It was a fun, fun time.
Aww,
that's
awesome. Nice.
Thank
you. Good one.
All right, let's start with, if you want awkward, this is as properly rated as it gets. Here's Belichick, who stunned us when he entered NFL media for a year and was great. Was funny, was relatable, was critical, wasn't timid. But he's back to being weird, short answers, awkward Bill Belichick. This is Tony DeCoppel, primarily CBS This Morning, but now he's double dipping here with, what is it?
60 Minutes?
No, Sunday Morning.
Sunday Morning,
CBS
Sunday Morning.
It was, right.
Great show.
Yeah.
And he's doing an 8-minute interview with Belichick. So it's professional, and it also talks about the 24-year-old girlfriend, Jordan. Here's a bit of a sample where it starts with Robert Kraft, the owner of the Patriots, and how Bill and Robert Kraft left each other's company.
And Robert's not mentioned at all in Bill's new book.
Yes.
Well, again, it's about my life lessons in football, and it's really more about the ones that I experienced directly.
He's not even in the acknowledgement section.
Correct.
Do you feel like you were treated with dignity and respect when you were let go by Robert Kraft?
Yeah, well, it was a mutual decision for us to part ways.
He said fired.
It was a mutual decision.
The other change for Belichick is 24-year-old Jordan Hudson, his creative muse, as he writes in his book.
Make sure that that's the philosophy.
Jordan was a constant presence during our interview.
You have
Think
Jordan
about that.
Right over there. Everybody in the world seems to be following this relationship. They've got an opinion
that's
about your private life. It's
world.
Got nothing to do with them, but they're invested in it. How do you deal with that?
Never been too worried about what everybody else thinks. Just try to do what I feel like is best for me and what's right.
How did you guys meet?
Not talking about this.
No?
No.
It's a topic neither one of them.
Bumble.
Okay. Belichick is incredibly difficult to interview when he's in this mode, okay? Mm-hmm. DeCopel's asking weak questions, so I'm just going to say you have to be really particular in your phrasing with certain individuals. Mm-hmm. And you know that with Belichick, and DeCopel did not rise to the level. But having your 24-year-old girlfriend off to the side coaching up Bill bleeping Belichick, that's weird.
Well,
I don't, you know, the relationship stuff, I haven't spent that much time on it. Yeah, it's different. 73 and 24, that's really different.
It's gross is what it is.
Yeah, I think that's probably the way to go. But then it's bizarre, Dave,
right,
when she's a highly intelligent guy away from football. He's a very smart guy. When he's getting told what to say and what not to say, blink twice, Bill, if you're okay.
Yes.
We need to, speaking of hijacking, do we need to get Bill out of this dynamic?
Well, and the part we didn't hear, he's talking about Instagram, Bill on social media, and photos that have been posted of
those,
you know,
are terrible questions.
Yes, him as a fisherman and she's a mermaid, or holding her up like a yoga pose, and he's like, I guess I'm on those things. Yeah. I don't really pay attention.
He's going to say that, though. Oh. I mean, DeCopel has to know that. So if you thrive on awkward, and I normally can just take awkward about 2-3 minutes, and I'm like, I got to stop watching.
It's killing me.
This is it. Few more things. Saquon Barkley just finished this phenomenal year with the Philadelphia Eagles. Was one of the key parts to winning the Super Bowl. And so over the weekend, Dave, did you see where he was?
With the president, right?
Play golf with Donald Trump.
Oh.
Play golf with Donald Trump. In fact, there's a photo of him after the round at Bedminster getting ready to have some food or something. And he's getting crushed. He points out, by the way, that I've played golf with Barack Obama before. You know, I'm about to comment on Donald Trump. 105 for a couple of segments on his disastrous polling. I've never been shy about my opinion of the president and his ability to be the president. If you decide you want to respect the office and you're not much of a political person, as Saquon is not saying this is his endorsement. By the way, if you want to play with him because you're a big fan, do that too. But if you just want to support and respect the presidency of the United States and play golf with him, I don't think you have to be crucified and crushed. This from a guy who's not a Trump supporter at all. But if you just want to play golf with the individualist president, I don't think this becomes a referendum on you as a human being. I just don't.
Unfortunately, these days, emotions are so raw and so harsh.
That's it.
That it doesn't matter. That a lot of stuff's off the table now because there's so much hate and vitriol and nobody moves.
Yep, exactly. Three last things. For healthy food options and smoothies and great food, there's this new place called Toastique in Wayzata, la-di-da.
La-di-da.
It's a chain, but we went, Q and I went Saturday. You'll pay a little more, but if you want a healthy, good smoothie and bowls and sandwich options, fabulous. Went back to Ola Rape over the weekend. It's one of my five or six favorite restaurants in town. And then where do we stand on the prank call? The prank call, this is Shadur Sanders, who must have had the worst interview in the history of the planet. We're going to get to a worst interview topic later. But he just kept falling. This is tied to the Mel Kiper situation. Kept falling. At one point, turns out the son of the Falcons defense coordinator was able to track down the phone the NFL gave to top draft choices, top potential draft choices. And he and his buddy call Shadur, say they're Mickey Loomis, the Saints general manager. So I'm like, you prepared to be drafted? And Shadur's like, yes, sir, yes, sir. And then the guy goes, it's going to be a lot longer, and hangs up. Now, it came out that it was the kid, the son of the Falcons defense coordinator, as mentioned before. He's put out a significant apology. I love practical jokes. I do. I play them here. You played one of me recently. I think they're fun. Does this one cross the line?
Yes.
Okay. Why?
It's a very serious issue. It's I think you should not do shenanigans on health things. You know, don't claim you have, you know, leukemia and you don't, what yeah. have you.
Be a tough one if the doctor said, hey, I was just kidding.
Yeah, just kidding.
Yeah.
I think this is not the place. I mean, me hiding your phone, that's cute.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. It just, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of emotion in it. You could really, you know, you're really messing with somebody's head.
Yes.
And
yes, you are.
And that's not too funny.
Dave?
Stealing your phone is funny.
Yep.
I think what makes it go over the line is, I think for a good practical joke, you have to know the person. It's got to be a friend. It's got to be a family member. It's got to be a coworker. I think just to do it to somebody who is a complete stranger to you,
then
maybe that pushes
mean.
It over the line, but it is still kind of funny.
There's a part of it that is funny. But there's a part of it that you see. I mean, here is his livelihood on the line, and he's plummeting. It'd be one thing if it turned out he went third and they said he was going second. But this is one he had a drop like nobody can ever remember.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're such dopes, they put the video out there on social media.
Oh, right.
Do they think that wasn't going to lead to trouble?
God.
So, yeah, the idea conceptually is funny. But everything associated with it, it went too far.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Oh.
Susie, thank you.
Yeah, we'll talk to you later. I'll be back in about a half an hour with some news.
Beautiful. Homeschooling on the rise. Are you a believer? Are you a skeptic? We're going to have a guest on fairly quickly, okay? It's not going to be as long as some of our interviews, but then I want to hear from you. Where do you stand on homeschooling? You think it's a phenomenal option? It's up to people to do it. You think you're going to miss out on so many things. It's the wrong way to go. You can chime in right now and offer up a comment if you'd like. 651-461-9226. Can I just say the same thing about Chubby Checker as
no
Joe
kidding.
Cocker? How is it possible that Chubby Checker in 2025 is now getting into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? They're looking at a lot of his recent work. Is that what they're judging?
They found his latest album, which I believe came out in January. Really tipped the scales. Unbelievable.
I mean, seriously. All right. Interesting story from Mara Klecker in the Tribune. Homeschooling took off during the pandemic. It's still rising. Yeah, I mean, no doubt across the country. When COVID took place, you saw many, many examples of homeschooling because, let's be honest, the kids with the traditional schools were home, so some parents said, why don't we just participate and jump into homeschooling? But think about this from the Trip story. The number of homeschool students in Minnesota since the 22-23 school year, so that's when COVID is winding down, has jumped 18%, more than 31,000 of the approximate 900,000 students are now homeschooled. Rob Prigge is quoted in the story. He's going to join us here in seconds on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. He is the executive director of the Minnesota Association of Christian Home Educators, a group first established in the 80s. Roberts quoted as saying this, "The pandemic was a major catalyst for some of this exceptional growth in homeschooling. It used to be very, very much under the radar, but COVID changed that." Okay, thank you, Rob. Appreciate your time. What, along with just, hey, my kids are home, let me look at other options, but what has kept it going since we went back to normal protocols with kids now almost unanimously attending schools in person?
Hi, Dave? Or Chad, I'm sorry. Yeah, this is Rob Brady.
Yeah.
I'm sorry if you cut out there for a second. I think the answer is in part the response to the pandemic brought a whole lot of attention and focus on the part of the parents. I expected when schools reopened, a little bit to your point, that we'd see a dip in that, and there was a little bit. But it did come right back, and I think that one of the things that happened there is a forced experimentation on the part of parents in home learning. If you talk to a lot of homeschool families about how they began, they almost always tell you a story something like this. I think I can do this. I think I want to do this. I think we need to do this. Let's try a year. Let's see how it goes. So they try a year and go, you know, that went well. I think we're going to keep it up. Let's try another year. That's such a common story. That's happened here. So for some of the families that were forced back on their own devices, they found, we can do this. And I think we should. Let's try another year. And it's been very much like that classic homeschooling story. And then there were other families, obviously, and to your point, that went schools reopened. They went back into the public school system. It's working fine for their kids. So I think it really was a catalyst for a review of how we school our kids. What are the reasons for various flavors of how we school our kids? And it caused people to keep it up. Has legs.
Rob, for somebody who's listening right now who has given consideration to this, mm-hmm. but has not made the decision yet, why, mm-hmm. in your opinion, should they try homeschooling?
You know, it's a great question. And the reasons are probably fourfold. One, for some families, and not just Christian families, it's a faith-based reason. There's almost no form of education, maybe chemistry and algebra are different, but that don't bring some value system into play. So faith-based is still a common sort of reason, but it's not by any means the sole reason, or even perhaps anymore the primary reason. Academic results and outcomes. Homeschooling's got a pretty good history, and there's a lot of data over about 40 years now where the outcomes are really very good in the homeschooling model. Learning environment, how you can structure a learning environment that's good for your family, good for your kids. There's just a lot more freedom to do that. And finally, you know, most school models that have larger classroom sizes have to somewhat teach to the mean. And if you've got really advanced kids or kids that have learning challenges, that's a harder thing to account for in a large classroom setting. But if it's your family and it's a much smaller class size, if you will, you can tailor to your learning styles. You can tailor to the advanced kid. You can find support for the learning challenge. So it just gives you so much flexibility to structure for your kids what's best for them.
Rob, if a parent again is listening and saying, I don't know if I'm going to be strong enough in this area, and how will I know if I'm holding my child or children to the proper standard?
Great question. I love these questions. In Minnesota, one of the things that's required by law is annual standardized testing. And I remember back to the beginning for us in homeschooling, and we were wondering, how are we doing? Are we achieving these outcomes? Are the kids doing okay? Am I doing it right? You take that annual standardized test, and it's for you, the educator, like any testing really is, to go, how are you doing? They're doing fine in reading. They need a little help in science. You get feedback. What we got, and I almost didn't even understand this, our kids who are not Einsteins, normal kids, would achieve outcomes in those tests of like four grade levels up, meaning if a typical child, four grade levels up, took the same test your kid just did, that's what your kids are doing. That story again, it's pretty common, but to your point.
Okay, now wait a second. Can I just step in?
Yeah, yeah.
So you're saying the typical homeschool student is testing four grades above where they would be if they were in typical mainstream school?
Let me say it again. It's a little different than I think I heard you just say it. if, like, let's say I'm doing second grade,
yep,
and I just get the results back,
yep,
a sixth grader, a typical sixth grader, taking that second grader test, in our experience, was achieving the same outcomes. So it's not that our kid had mastered, you know, the education objectives of the next four grades, but that their achievement on that second grade test is equivalent, quote unquote. That was our experience, and it's not an uncommon, it's an anecdotal story, but I heard it a lot, of kids grade levels ahead in the normal system taking the same test. So that gave us confidence. We're doing okay. Again, they're not Einstein, but they're doing okay.
Last thing, and I'm gonna get the audience into it. The same parent is listening, saying, and he or she is listening, and they're intrigued, but they worry about the interaction, which mm-hmm. is so essential to schooling, with yep. just in the class or in the hallways or the extracurricular activities, and they mm-hmm. feel like, when I think about school, this is the parent thinking back to 10, 20, 30 years ago. They have as many memories about that as they do the algebra class, and they're worried their daughter or son is going to miss out on that. What do you say to this parent?
That's a question that a lot of us faced early on, and frankly, a lot of us faced it from our own families, from grandparents or others that kind of understood the public school system and what you just said. Harvard did a study on this actual question quite a few years ago now, and they defined socialization, and they said, based on their definition, let's look at public school kids, private school kids, homeschool kids, and see how they do based on their definition. And I'll tell you what their definition was in a second. Out of that study, they said homeschool kids are better socialized back when they did that study. Okay, how is that possible? Well, what they said was the typical homeschool model, and this has only become more so over time, in 2025 it's even more so, instead of being quote-unquote socialized in only your age group, if you will, like I'm 13, I know how to talk to 13-year-olds, like I know their language, I get it. Well, a homeschool can do that and age up and age down, deal with adults, deal with grandparents, a lot of different adults. So if you saw someone that's been homeschooled for a while and they came up to you, they would look you in the eye, reach out, shake your hand, introduce themselves, and have a conversation. And you'd be like, that's different. But it shouldn't be. So co-ops and support groups, there are so many structures now that allow you to achieve what you're talking about. There's the homeschool is what we call it, but it is literally not just at home anymore. It's not just at home anymore.
Rob, thanks for your time. I appreciate it, sir.
Yep.
Rob Prigge, Executive Director of the Minnesota Association of Christian Home Educators, group established in the 80s. We're talking homeschooling. Tell me if you're a part of it, if you haven't a part of it, or if you just have an opinion, what you love or what gives you pause about the concept of homeschooling. Let's go. Text and call. Love phone calls, as always. 651-461-9226. All right, let's jump in to the calls and texts on homeschooling. Playing the folks who are in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame off the recent confirmation last night. Mark has called in. Mark, thanks for listening. You're on CCO.
Hey, Chad, how are you doing?
Well.
Excellent. Yeah, I'm a facilities manager at a church in East Bloomington, and we host a co-op. It's called Cross Ties Co-op, and they come in every other Monday. And our church used to be a former elementary school, so it's a good fit. But, I mean, they set up, the volunteers come in and set up art and science, and they rotate. And I just see some of the kids come to church on Sunday, so I know them personally, but there's a lot that don't. I just feel like it's a great atmosphere for kids.
I appreciate the phone call. Thank you. Pastor Luke has called in. Pastor, thanks for listening. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning. Good afternoon, I guess. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How about you?
Doing well. I'm good. Say, hey, I have lots of thoughts, little time, but one of the things that I have people ask me about all the time with that is, you know, the faith aspect of it. And my gut, and I got public school teachers for parents, right? So that's my history. But my gut has always been, you know, like if you're raising amazing kids, then get them to the places where amazing kids need to be. And if that's public schools where they can be a great friend, a great influence, a great leader, all that kind of stuff, that's really how I've encouraged folks in my 20-plus years of ministry. Like, put them where you can put great people and have them love on other people and show them what, like, a life of faith is all about. So that's always been my takeaway.
I think that's well stated, sir. And thank you for the phone call. I don't think, Dave, it has to be just the home schools where it's faith-based. If you feel like your daughter or son is going to thrive and is in a better position with homeschooling, I completely get it. If you feel like it is a private school and you have that financial availability, if you feel like public school, and also be open-minded to if we have to change, you can do that. It's hard to make those decisions, but no one knows your child, in theory, most of the time, better than you. So adapt to how they are at this point with the understanding that kids are young and they're malleable and they're going to adjust as things go along.
Yeah, obviously every situation is different. I can think of two families I know who homeschool their kids, and the situation is the same in that both moms, they're the ones who do the schooling, both were teachers earlier in their career, had kids, and say, no, this is the way we want to go. We had the education to get an education degree. I want to homeschool my kids. One is very faith-based. The other, I don't believe to be faith-based at all.
Yeah.
They just wanted to take it on themselves because they trusted their abilities.
Yeah, and that's the key. Do you have the time? Do you have the skill? And in all these options, you're accepting the positives and the negatives, right? And some people say, I want my son to or daughter to challenge their negatives. So not just to stay in that lane. But it's a fair debate. A lot of text coming in. But good calls on this. Donald Trump polling. We'll try to work some more of these texts in when we first come back. Thanks so much for listening.